Welcome to Absolutely Paranormal with Reg and Jen. Hi, Jen. Are you there?
I'm there. Hi, Reg.
How are you doing tonight?
Fine. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Hey, everybody. This is our audition show, so we're a little unprepared. But we're going to muddle through anyway. We found out we had this slot literally 12 hours ago, so we've been furiously preparing. Our guest tonight, we actually have been fortunate enough to get Todd Bates from hauntedvoices.com.
Yes.
And he's going to be joining us here in a few minutes. He's currently talking to the guys over at the X-Zone Radio. If you guys want to hear a really good radio show, that's a good show to check out over at xzoneradio.com. And he's going to call us in about 15 minutes. So we got 15 minutes, Jen.
Okay, great.
What kind of paranormal stuff have you got to talk to us about?
Yeah, in my life, everything is paranormal.
Everything in Jen's life is paranormal. So I guess let's give everybody a little rundown of what we want to do with the show.
Great.
Basically, we're called Absolutely Paranormal. If you guys want to check out the website, it's called absolutelyparanormal.com. It's currently in beta, so don't expect a whole lot of content, and things may or may not work depending on the day. But we sure do need help. People come by and help us check out and test out our little system there.
Yes, please do.
But what we're pretty much going to do is me and Jen both have kind of noticed that all the websites out there and even most of the radio shows out there, they all cover the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same guests and the same topics, and pretty much we're not sure what's true and what's not. So what we want to try and do is we're going to explore the paranormal more from a standpoint of, if you say it's true, you got to prove to us that it's true.
Absolutely.
And for those of us that know us, me and Jen are both staff members over at hauntedvoices.com. And we have some very, how would you put it, heated debate? Sometimes.
That's a polite way of putting it, I think.
Jen and I, the reason we're co-hosting the show is because we don't always agree.
Not necessarily, no, but I think we have very different approaches, I'll put it that way.
We have very different approaches, but we're still best of friends, and
yes.
We always get through our little problems, but that's what the paranormal world needs more of, is more people to stop and say, wait a minute, is that really true, or are you just rehashing the same old stuff? I know, Jen, your big thing is the Amityville house.
Yes, absolutely. In my experience, well, I shouldn't say experience, I've never physically been to that location, but I tend to think that it's been overdone by Hollywood. I think there's less truth to it, to the sensationalism, than people are led to believe.
Well, and I can say that I do know a little bit about the Amityville thing, and I, of course, saw the movie and all the books. But Jen has brought to my attention a lot of things that, you know, we just take for granted because it was in the movie. But in reality, some of that stuff wasn't true, and people get that in their heads, and then next thing you know, it's all over the internet that this is absolutely true, and there was really a ghost. Maybe there wasn't.
Right, right. And I think it's up to us to make that determination. You can't take things at face value.
No, we've talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
That's one thing me and Jen definitely agree on is, you know, less, hey, look at what I did, and more, look at what I did, and this is how I did it, and this is why I can show that it's, you know, good.
Yes, yes. Have the hard evidence to back up your claims.
Like, tell us, since we got some time here, tell us about the Amityville thing. What was the, like, the priest in particular?
Well, they had alluded, they had alleged, I should say, that the priest that was called to the location had heard a voice telling him to go, a demonic voice, and he fled the scene when, according to that priest, nothing like that ever happened at all. So, again.
Yet again, another great example. The priest says, I never did that, yet all over the internet you see this priest, and he was scared out, and look how true this was.
And priests don't lie, Reggie. Priests never lie.
Yes, I wouldn't say always, but I usually take the word of a priest over some other people.
I would be inclined to as well.
So that's pretty much what Absolutely Paranormal is all about. One of the things we want to do on the website is we're going to make it kind of a clearinghouse of sorts for information, so that we can actually see this stuff, where if somebody posts something that's, you know, supposedly true, other people can come by, comment on it, lead people to more info, you know, send them to the priest's website where he says it's all he, and that kind of thing. So, like I said, this is our audition, so hopefully we're doing good. Everybody write in. What's
yes,
the address,
please, Jen? Do. I'm sorry?
What's the address?
contact@bloginservice.com. If you love the show, and we hope you do, please write to the good people at contact@bloginservice.com and let them know.
We'd like to be a weekly feature at BBS Radio, and the only way we're going to get there is if you people call in and tell them how much you loved our show. If you hate the show, call
That's okay too.
Call Coast to Coast. Tell them their show's... Don't call BBS. But, yeah, what is it again? Tell everybody again.
contact@bloginservice.com.
contact@bloginservice.com. Give them
yes.
an email. Tell them how much you love the Red Gin Gin show. Well, okay, one of the things we wanted to do on our show is we're going to have weekly news updates where we cover some of the more esoteric weekly news in the paranormal world. And, let's jump right into that right now. We don't have any little intro music or anything, but we can wing it. So here we go. And now it's time for the Absolutely Paranormal News, covering the weird, strange, and just plain out-of-this-world events you want to know about.
A book published last June called People Who Don't Know They're Dead, How They Attach Themselves to Unsuspecting Bystanders and What to Do About It, may not be flying off the shelves, but it won a coveted literary award for its odd title. Gary Leon Hill's book beat out hundreds of others to win the Diagram Prize from the British publication The Bookseller. Started in 1978, the $1,000 prize rewards books for creative and unusual titles. "This was the fiercest fight that we have ever seen in the Bookseller Diagram Prize," said Joel Tickett, deputy editor of The Bookseller. In the end, it came down to just two votes.
From the world of zoology, the Carolina mystery beast that has been spotted foraging around the Tyco Electronics plant may not be some newly discovered creature after all. Harry Summers, a biologist with the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission, thinks it's a fox with a rare genetic disorder called Samson disease. Having Samson means the animal lacks his outer layer of fur, forcing him to hunt in the day and sleep at night, says Summers. But in the end, the mystery still remains. Since the animal is causing no harm, there are no plans to capture and examine it.
A bleeding stain has appeared on the face of the Mother of God on the Kazan icon in the small Orthodox Church of St. Peter and Paul at the log village near Volgograd, Russia. Pilgrims from all over Russia and the world are descending on the church in the hopes of experiencing a miracle. So far, believers say the paranormal piece has already brought back one man's sight, and another 10-year-old boy was cured of epilepsy after hours of prayer at the site. Is it absolutely paranormal? Doctors brought in by the diocese to study the phenomenon say the stain mimics the anatomic map of blood vessels on the human face.
A former U.S. Air captain, an Air Force Special Investigations agent, and an ex-Marine and Naval officer are ready to shake up the UFO world with their new book, Exempt from Disclosure. This book explores the roles of various individuals, groups, and organizations within the U.S. government in the search for UFOs and extraterrestrials, and provides a history of past events and how they were handled. But this won't be your usual UFO conspiracy book. These guys were actually involved in these cases and provide actual documents and photographs. The book even details a secret organization called MJ-12, started by President Truman, that is supposedly still in operation today. For more information on Exempt from Disclosure, visit your bookstore now or online at ufoconspiracy.com.
And that's the Absolutely Paranormal News for this Thursday, March 23rd.
Jen, I know we have a bunch of paranormal events coming up, but do we have a couple we can announce?
Sure. Western New York Paranormal is hosting the first ever Supernatural Summit at the U.S. Army Reserve Center in Rochester, New York, on April 29th and 30th, featuring two full days of workshops with guest speakers Todd Bates, Vince Wilson, Scott Barstow, Dwayne Claude, and many more. Get all the details at supernaturalsummit.com. Also, Paracon, hosted by the Smoking Gun Research Agency, will be held June 16th through the 18th in Milton, Connecticut. The event includes panel discussions, presentations, social events, an auction, and guest speakers Stacey Jones, John Zaffis, Steve Wagner, and John Nowinski, just to name a few. Visit sgra-media.org for more information. And that's the Absolutely Paranormal event update. Reggie?
Wow, what a lineup that's going to be, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
All those guys in one building for an entire weekend? Holy cow.
Too much information to handle.
Too much information. Oh, man. Let's see if they get some aliens to land there.
That would be interesting.
Take care of John. But no, seriously, both of those events, wonderful events, lots of powerful speakers.
Yes, of course.
Our guest, who's calling in any minute now, Todd Bates, he's going to be at, which one is he going to be at?
He will be at the Supernatural Summit in Rochester, New York.
I love that name, the Supernatural Summit.
Yes.
So, yeah, if you want to learn more from Todd after the show, head on over to the Supernatural Summit.
Definitely. They have a tremendous event planned, a lot of great presentations and workshops. I wish I could attend.
Summertime's coming up, lots of events. What do you guys got planned? Everybody that doesn't know, Jen has her own ghost hunting organization. Do you like the term ghost hunter?
You know what, I really don't mind it. I know a lot of people find it to be, dare I say, offensive, but I'm not hunting in the real sense of the term, so it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah, because lately there's a lot of people that, don't call me ghost hunter, paranormal investigator, what term do we use? But so anyway, she has her own paranormal investigation organization, we'll call it. It's called Dead Frame. What do you guys got planned for this summer? Are you investigating?
Oh,
cool?
We are planning return trips to Point Pleasant.
And it sounds like our guest is coming on in.
Yes.
Do we have Todd?
Yes.
Hey, Todd.
Hi, Reggie. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Todd.
Everybody, welcome Todd Bates from HauntedVoices.com, also known as EVP Man.
Yes.
One of the world's foremost experts on the subject.
Hey, it's a great show, you guys. I'm loving it.
Thank you. You're too kind.
I just registered on your site, too.
Oh,
it's all
tremendous.
A lot of info on there so far, and it's just started.
Just started putting stuff in last week.
It's looking
like
good.
A lot of things don't work yet. We're still building it, so if you run across something that doesn't work, just keep on going.
Bear with us.
All in time.
A site that's truly under construction.
You forgot to tell them why I left the beep on.
Yeah, Don left the beep on.
Was that Don leaving the beep on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to tell you, but I had to stop the bleeding out of my ear.
It wasn't that bad, Don. We didn't mind. Of course, I guess we should introduce, we have Nevin, who's also kind of auditioning tonight on the equipment. It's his first night as engineer, so...
Yeah, so far so good.
So far he's been doing great. I was listening earlier, and he was doing a good job. So, Todd, tell us, let's get into it. Tell us a little bit about the EVP.
Wow. Well, I just got finished doing that a little bit.
I know you got done on the X Zone.
Yeah. EVP. That's definitely my passion, for sure. I'm not going to say it's all I'm interested in. But for me, that's the cream of the crop. That's probably the most credible way to interact. I mean, you can sit there and, sure, you can see an apparition and, you know, things of that nature. And don't get me wrong, that'd be great. But I'd rather sit and talk to one. You know, I'd kind of rather sit and talk. I mean, I just think that's going to put more of my memory in my little pea-sized brain than anything else.
Amen. Well, you know, that's why I got interested. I kind of started out getting interested in EVP, and that's how I hooked up with Todd. And I was the same way. As if there's one way that you can prove their spirits, ask them. And if they respond, I mean, that's a million times better than a picture.
Yeah, the only thing we have against us is that the skeptics are eating us alive.
Oh, yes.
I mean, anything from shortwave radios to telekinesis. I don't look that far into it.
Right.
Okay, to me, that's just going beyond the limit. I mean, it gets to the point to where you have to believe in certain things, and you have to have some kind of belief. You just can't have some piece of scientific equipment that's going to tell you yes or no.
Right.
You know, you have to have some kind of belief. There might not ever be any solid proof. God, I don't think he wants us to know. You know, it might be something he's holding back.
So are you then inclined to believe EVP as proof of life after death as opposed to, say, photographic evidence?
You mean in comparison?
Yes.
I would, photographic evidence, sure. I mean, I would believe that's right evidence, don't get me wrong. But photos can be altered and faked just as EVP can. A lot of it can be altered and faked.
Right.
But I would definitely take the EVP road because you can get more. You capture more voices than you do photos. Sure, you have all kinds of sightings. People, I mean, I could tell you right now, I'm looking square at George Washington's face. Do you take my word for it? You know,
good point.
And it's the same thing as far as the EVP. I can tell you that I captured this individual saying, there is life after death, come on over, we'll have a great time. But did I actually, were you there when I recorded it? Did you hear me? Did you hear it captured? You know, it's all in a belief and belief and trust system.
Well, and I can say, too, I came in to the world of EVP with, you know, you guys know, is a skeptical attitude. Of course, I have a sound engineer background, so my original thought was, you know, they're just recording, like they say, stray radio waves.
Mm-hmm.
But a few months ago, I actually wrote an article in response to some of the skeptics, because as much as I lament on, you know, the believers to prove what they say, I also do the same with the skeptics, and their arguments simply don't hold water. You're picking up CB radios. Well, then how come nobody's ever recorded, to my knowledge, any EVP that's, you know, 10-4 big truck?
Exactly.
You know, Smokey at the choke and puke on Highway 9.
Exactly.
We don't ever get pilot EVP. You would think that with the powerful radio, you know, that the airplanes carry, you would get Tango 6-9er on approach. But no, people are saying, what's your name? And they're getting Joe.
Right. It's unheard of. It really is. And it's just, it's, that's why it's the unknown. You know,
because I'm not, you know, everybody knows that. I'm not totally convinced that it's ghosts.
Right.
There's other theories out there that I don't think people have proved to me that it's just spirits. So tell us about some of the other theories that, you know, one is, of course, that it's ghosts and the dear departed. But there's another one that I like about the whole time thing, or the whole emotion sticking around.
The residual activity. This is another theory that I'm a very firm believer in it. You know, like I said, when I started this, I was extremely skeptical. I thought this was all a load of crap. But I'm 100% different now. But as far as the residual, I think in certain areas, we've investigated a lot of areas that have different foundations, like limestone, bedrock, what have you, and they're porous. You know, they can hold sound and energy and, you know, things of that nature. And I think it's almost like a sponge. you know, over time the sponge gets full, it kind of seeps out. And of course we can't hear it, it's inaudible, but once it hits our microphones, the microphone may amplify it enough to where we can hear it. I've captured them, for example, in an opera house where you have the opera singer, or you have the two guys fighting there on stage, where you have gunshots, things like that that are residual. You capture things of that nature. And, you know, you can't explain them. You didn't hear them, but you capture them on tape.
Todd, do you think that there is a certain type of person, I'll say, that is more prone to collect EVP? Myself, I have tried many, many, many times on many investigations. I think I've had maybe three or four solid EVP, maybe one of which is actually a Class A. Do you think that perhaps some people just have it in their head that it's not possible and therefore it isn't for them?
Right. Yeah, I definitely think that attitude plays a big key in it. And some people just can't capture them. It's just the way it is. I can't capture a photo to save my life. My wife, dime a dozen.
Right.
It just depends on, I think, what you're after. A lot of it is mental. I think you have to have an extremely open mind to it. And you have to put yourself in a certain mindset. It's kind of like, you know, when you put somebody in a job they don't like doing, they're not really going to do a very good job at it. But if you're out there and you're doing something you love, the results are going to be great. But
now,
it's
Todd, do you think, I've heard from a few psychics and their position, or no, I shouldn't say all psychics, but many psychics, their position is that only people with their special ability are able to see or record the ghosts. Do you think maybe it could be some people that have unknown psychic abilities, or do you think that's all just a bunch of hooey and it's psychics trying to, you know, make themselves more special than the rest of us?
Yeah, I think everybody has that kind of ability. It's just some are more in tune to it than others. Some take advantage of that, and some exaggerate on that. But there's parts in our brain that aren't even used. They're just keys to the soul, so to speak. We don't know if you use that, hey, maybe you can just sit there and carry on a conversation and see this entity. But I think everybody has that ability. But it's just a matter of training yourself and becoming in tune to it. You know, I don't think it's just these psychics that are out there. In my opinion, there's far too many of them. And that definitely puts a damper on it, because once you have too many of one thing, it normally gets pretty bad. But, yeah, there are some really, really good ones out there that can do it. But the ones that are in it for the gain and hey, let's make a fast buck, those are the ones I look out for.
And those are the ones that seem to be pitching the whole, we're the only ones that can do it, so yeah, pay us $300 an hour to come and
right.
Exactly.
Conjure the spirits for you.
Yeah, you shouldn't really harness a gift like that.
I've always thought, even when I hear from psychics that I believe, you know, there are a few people that I firmly believe have some psychic ability, but I do wonder when they start saying that it's a special gift that only certain people have, because I think, like you said, everyone has that potential. Me and Todd both could have become bodybuilders had we spent the time and energy building our bodies up to do that, but we just didn't do that.
Exactly.
So now there's guys out there that are 100 times stronger than either of us, but it doesn't mean that we couldn't do it if we wanted to take the time to learn how. I actually know there's a couple of shows on BBS radio where the psychics try and help and teach people how to harness that ability.
That's what's good. To me, that's a good thing. Teaching. You know, if you're going to hold something like that to yourself and throw it in your closet and say, oh, that's mine, nobody's getting it unless you pay me millions of dollars, wrong answer. Karma will come around. You just don't abuse a gift like that. You share it.
Get those karma bucks.
It's not going to do you any good, Dad.
I've argued this point many, many times, but a lot of people in the paranormal community believe anyone who charges for anything is, you know, out to rip you off. And I always point out that it's not that they're out to rip. I mean, there are people that are out to rip you off, of course, but you can't immediately jump to that conclusion simply because people have to pay their bills. So I look at it as kind of a waste. If someone has to spend 12 hours a day working for the Tyco Electronics Company, instead of doing what they love doing, whether it's psychic ability or ghost hunting or whatever, people should be able to earn a living doing this. If
yeah,
they choose to, but like you said, you have to watch out for the people that seem to just be making it all up.
This has always been one of the issues that Reggie and I have disagreed on.
And yes, let's get Jen's thought. She disagrees with me on this.
I am someone who is married to a sensitive person who is sensitive, not psychic per se, but sensitive. Clairsentient is the actual term. My perception has always been this is a God-given gift, or whether or not you believe in God, but I mean a gift that he did nothing to acquire through his own efforts. So his personal opinion has always been, why should I charge you for it? My answer to the suggestion that if somebody chooses to do this for a living, they should be able to, I don't know about that. Personally, I think there are many things you can do to earn a living, and being psychic is something that you do on the side to help people. I don't know that you should seek financial gain from it. That's my personal opinion.
What do you think, Todd?
Well, my wife and I, we make millions. Okay, we have made...
I did not know this.
Multiple millions of dollars off of...
that you offer, that's a lucrative business there.
Exactly.
Todd, I officially want a raise.
At Haunted Voices, okay, we have made millions off of our lessons, just millions of dollars. It's just coming out of our ears. No, we haven't made a lot of money at this. I personally don't care to.
We're in the red every month.
Yeah, exactly. You know that as well better than anybody. But you two know us, and you know what's out there and what people are putting across as education and so forth, and they're charging high dollar for it.
Yes. And that's the other thing. How do you determine the fair and equitable value of something as arbitrary as psychic intuition?
You really can't. You really can't put a price on it. You can't put a cap on something like that. I mean, that ranges almost a sentimental value. Your education, that's all sentimental. That's yours. It's priceless. So,
well, and to be fair, I think there have been so many people duped, for lack of a better word,
right,
by some of these psychics that, there's definitely a stigma attached. And so maybe I'm just one of those people. I've had psychics in the past who have told me things and told my family things that, you know, we were going through a really emotional time, whatever it was. And I feel like some of them do take advantage of those people, of those times, just for the purpose of making money.
Exactly.
I would think that they would kind of look at them the way you do attorneys. If the attorney's waiting in his office for you to call, that's not really inappropriate. But if he's out chasing ambulances, then, you know. And you do hear those stories.
Sure.
As soon as it hit the newspaper that Grandma had died, three psychics called us so that we could communicate and find out where the will was.
Right.
Now I'm going to agree with you guys.
Ambulance chasing the psychic. Ghost hunters, even. Ambulance chasing ghost hunters.
There can be a happy compromise. There really
can
be.
I
mean, you don't have to charge an outrageous price. I mean, you know us. We slap everything on donation. If you pay it, great. If you can't, hey, we'll work with you.
And I think that is key. I think that's how you do it in a reasonable way. Again, I'm not suggesting that a psychic should never charge anything. I realize that for some of them, they would never get a moment's rest.
Right.
They would be inundated with these requests for readings and what have you. But I definitely think that there should be a limit to it. To know that some of these psychics are charging in excess of $300, $400, $500 per hour seems, well, as you said earlier, I believe in karma. So,
me and Jen are big Sylvia Brown fans to some extent. But, yeah, I think Sylvia's getting about $800 an hour now.
Yeah, she's
a
very happy camper.
As much as 3,000. by
which,
some...
you know, my attitude is, hey, more power to her. She's a 60-year-old woman. She can use that money.
Right.
People are willing to pay her.
She's definitely in high demand. This is true.
That's why after this venture, Electronic Voice Phenomena, we are going to start up the Santa Claus Research Foundation.
That's a good idea.
I'm in.
Yes. Yeah, we'll make more millions. You know, it's all about the money in the paranormal. Now, see, I'm just so sick of hearing that.
Well, and let's talk about that for a moment. I've only really been, I guess I could say I've been actively involved in the paranormal community for about 2 years now. So I'm a fairly newcomer. But it's always blown my mind that people want to go out and do these investigations, and yet you need things like $500 cameras and $45 recorders and $300 this and that. And yet charging people money or collecting money even, you know, raising money is taboo. Well, how do you get the money for this cool stuff to prove your theory if you can't accept donations or if you can't have a fundraiser?
That's fair.
It seems like it's a very expensive hobby that nobody has the money for.
Right.
I can understand where you're coming from there.
And there are... God, yeah, you've got this whole, you know, command center with thousands of dollars worth of equipment. But, Todd, I know that your position is, especially with EVP, that you don't need the expensive stuff.
No. Not at all. No, I just... You just need your basic equipment. You don't have to go out and buy this high-tech mixing board with your mini-disc recorders and put everything on CD. We've done that and found less results. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Well, we were talking about that just the other day, and coming from a sound background, I've always been curious about that. Why is it that you don't hear sound engineers reporting EVP, or even the ones that you question about it? They're very adamant about it's all a bunch of hooey. I mean, it's just crazy people hearing noise. But I do think that a lot of it does have to do with the cheapness of the equipment, and not just that people are listening to noise, but there's the theory that you have to have that noise, that that's the noise that the spirits use.
Right.
In a recording studio, you have no noise.
Right.
So it would be like them walking into the recording studio with nothing to use as...
to modulate their voices.
So tell us about that, Todd.
That's the theory behind it. Now, see, my personal belief, I feel that these spirits or entities, they don't have vocal cords like you and I do. They don't have organs, flesh, to produce the sounds that you and I produce. They have to use and manipulate frequencies and energies within the air itself. By doing so... If you're in a completely quiet and contained area, sure, you can capture EVP. We've done it. We've captured EVP without using any kind of background noise. But we've also found with using noise, we capture it as well. So it's not something you can just toss to the wayside and just say it has to be, you know, you have to be in a clean room. You can't bring a ghost to a situation like that. We've just found that to use those as tools for certain situations, if we capture EVP, they're a little bit faint, we'll try a little bit of the noise. Sometimes the noise will bring it out. They might pick out a certain frequency within that noise. White noise, for example, it contains all audible frequencies that we can hear. It's just all mixed up in that constant hiss because our brains can't process them individually. So they may just pick one out and say, oh, I'm going to use this one. This one's easy. And they'll use it for a second. You know, that's why you only get the brief messages. Maybe that frequency is available for this amount of time. Maybe they can only use it for this brief amount of time. Maybe this is all they're allowed to say. You know, who knows? They may have spirit security forces up there that say, all right, you got five words. Get it out.
I've actually heard EVP samples where that was mentioned specifically. I'm not allowed to say much,
mm-hmm.
or I can't go into that, or I wondered the same thing. Is there some, you know, like me and Todd were joking a while back that, you know, Jesus is coming by, and people are like, oh, no, here comes Jesus. We're not supposed to say that. Because it would be kind of like, you know, messing with the mystery if there is one.
Well, just think what that would do to the world.
People to know stuff, and he's got spirits running around telling them, you know.
What would that do to the human population? If that was released, if you turned on CNN and you saw Albert Einstein sitting there in a ghostly figure talking to you and telling you, hey, I'm over here in heaven, I'm telling you, it's a spitting image of the Bible. We got some Golden Gates here. Check them out. They're behind me. You know, what would that do to the human population? They would freak. People would panic. They would instantly commit suicide. I want to go there. You know, well, it would be chaos.
My personal thought has always been that everybody's got it wrong. Every religion in the world has some things right, but mostly wrong. So if they did come back, it would throw everybody into chaos because we would suddenly learn that everything we believed is now maybe not all 100% correct.
Aha.
Because, yeah, look at the world. I mean, we've got conflicts brewing all over that are, in my opinion, mostly religiously, you know, based. What would happen if, what if we found out one religion was right? What if they came and said, the Krishnas are on to it, man, they're the guys to listen to.
Well, I'm going to get some Christians and Lutherans and so forth probably mailing bombs to my home after I say this, but has anyone ever seen God? No. No one's ever seen him.
Well,
I believe.
People, like, didn't. Well, actually, no, I guess Moses never saw him. He just talked to him.
Right. Do we have proof that he exists? No. We don't. It goes. It's a belief. It's an honor system. That's the way we were raised. That's what the Bible says to do. This may sound a little morbid, but I kind of see EVP in that light. And I hope everybody else can too. You know, we can't prove that this exists, that this is, you know, of total sound and mind.
Yes.
We also can't prove that there is a God of total sound and mind. You know, we can't. No matter how you say it, how you present it, no one can. It can't be proven until it's your time. Then,
well,
you know.
I've always personally thought that all of this, you know, the paranormal field in general is very arbitrary. It's very specific to your experience. It's relative to your experience. As you mentioned earlier, I could see something, rather, and know that I saw it. How can I ever explain that to you in a way that you would believe had you not been there, you know? This could be true with God as well, with anything. It's based on our interpretation of our own reality, and there's a school of thought that suggests that we create our own reality, so that ties in with that.
I agree.
Oh, that's next week's show.
That's next week's show. That's a whole other show.
Turn me on to that, and yeah, that's just blowing my mind completely with the
whole. It's almost like the Matrix.
It's almost like the Matrix, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which pill did you swallow?
And I've also, you know, I've studied a lot of the motivational speakers and the do-good in business book guys. They say the same thing. Picture what you want, put it in your head, make it real.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens. Then we take that, you know, analogy over to the paranormal and go, oh, no, that's crazy. That can't happen. It worked for Donald Trump.
Exactly.
I'm actually glad you mentioned that. What are your thoughts on the divide between the paranormal ghost community and the paranormal alien community? It seems as though one side says, oh, the other can't exist, and vice versa. What are your thoughts, Todd, on that?
Me personally, I don't really study interstellar UFOs, things of that nature, but I think it's very, very possible. I know there has to be other life. We can't be the only ones. That'd be pathetic. I think that they may use the same transit system. I guess you'd call it portals, vortexes, things of that nature. It's been documented as so. You know, people have seen ghosts and spirits in certain areas. They've also seen aliens pop up in certain areas. Who's to say that, you know, there's not some kind of interstellar bus station from Jupiter to here? We don't know. We haven't been that far.
And there is that whole theory that a lot of EVP, if not all EVP, is produced by some sort of cloaked, you know, alien being.
Right.
Which, again, I've seen no proof either way, so I can't say which. I mean, I guess it's possible that there's alien observers here that are cloaked, but why would, if they're trying to hide themselves, why would they come and talk to us, you know?
What's interesting, talking to Sarah Eastep, okay, she has captured these alien voices, interstellar, okay? A lot of them from Venus, she says. And I asked her, you know, did they come to you in any kind of different language? No.
How did she determine that they were from whichever planet?
That's what they told her.
Yeah, I was saying, didn't they tell her? They said we're from...
That's exactly what they told her. It was in audible English. She's even seen these same individuals in front of her television. I mean, she religiously used to watch Channel 47, which is it's an off station where she's at, and she could see them within the midst of you know, the static. Some kind of black box to communicate. She could see him, and then she physically saw him in front of her TV. It was just incredible. And why would somebody like that lie? Why would somebody like her make it up?
Well, I think the interesting thing about Sarah Eastup, is, for people who don't know her past, is that she absolutely did not believe in the existence of life after death. She thought that once you died, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until she grew up and certain things happened to her personally that she began to change her mind. So certainly somebody that starts out being more skeptical, it just lends more credence to their beliefs.
Well, and with Sarah in particular, she not only didn't believe when she started, she didn't believe the whole first month.
Right.
Right? She said she would record for a month, and then if nothing happened, she'd go on with her life, and if something, she'd just see.
And for a week, actually.
It was a week, and she got her the last night is when she got an EVP.
And it totally
changed her life.
And the spirits at that point told her to keep doing it, and that was her that was her motivation to continue to record.
Well, yeah, that's right, stress, not to give up.
Right.
And airline pilots be telling Sarah Eastup not to keep recording?
Because
maybe
they're interfering. They're interfering with the air traffic.
I can't get my head around the whole stray radio wave.
Yeah, I don't go that jazz. I really don't. You know, the AM/FM bands, they're saying those are interfering with the magnetic tape. And then when that's ruled out, then they say, oh, okay, well, it's shortwave. That's coming up from the ground. It's sticking to it like glue. You know, it's like, MIT, okay?
We can say that anything is caused by anything.
Right.
You know?
You're not going to win.
Well, and that's something that I get frustrated. Like, you guys usually don't get to see me when I'm yelling at the skeptics, but they pitch out this stuff. Well, you can make that, you know, Hollywood is so advanced now that some Hollywood studio could have made that. Okay, so I can't believe anything I record now.
Right.
If I take a picture of an airplane in the sky, it could be that it's a matte painting from, you know, George Lucas. How
right.
can you possibly, you know, say that?
Well, and this is why I question skeptics such as James Randi, personally.
My personal favorite.
I don't know that you can ever prove to his satisfaction what we believe in. I don't know that would ever even be possible. I know he certainly says it's possible, it's conceivable. He has this $1 million prize he's offering should this happen, but I don't know that it ever will.
I was gonna win that. I was going to buy the Ghost in the Jar on eBay. But somebody outbid me, and I was going to take that to him. It was there. I saw it.
I saw it, too.
Take it to James Randi.
But it is interesting because I think a lot of the skeptics come across not just as being skeptical, but being just diminishing the beliefs of others, you know, in opposition of them. And I think that's where the heated debates start. They seem to have a very cynical outlook on it. Pretty much, if you believe in paranormal activity, you know.
Well, and I always come from, you know, the whole prove it standpoint. I mean, that's my position. But even with them, when the scientists said the Earth was round, well, actually, when one scientist said the Earth was round, the rest of them told him he was nuts. When one scientist developed gravity, the rest of them told him he was crazy. Even when Einstein developed some of his theories, and now he's the godsend, but when he was developing his theories, the scientific community was telling him he was crazy.
Right.
So I always point out to them that you can say it's this and that and whatever, but until you investigate it and look into it, you can't just say it could be, it could be, it could be. Who does science like that? Can you imagine if science was conducted by well, you know, we're not really going to look into that because it might be this and it might be that.
Anything
we ever, you know, learn new discoveries.
Anything they can't figure out, they say is crazy.
Right. It's
flat
easier.
Out.
It's easier.
And when
well,
they do
then
figure
we have
it out.
With EVP in particular, since tonight's topic is EVP, there's two high-profile studies that were done in the 60s and then again in the 70s at Pi Radio in England and then at Cambridge. But as soon as the scientists couldn't explain their results, the projects were canceled.
Hmm.
Right.
Yeah, go
you
figure.
Know, they tried to prove EVP was impossible by putting, who was it? Now I can't even remember who it was. It wasn't Raudiv, was it? Anyway, they put him in a room that was shielded from radio waves and everything else, and then when he recorded a voice, they canceled the investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it.
And that has always frustrated me. Was we say we love science and we say we want to learn and have new knowledge, but anything that, you know, even NASA now is agreeing that extraterrestrial life is not only probable, or not only possible, but it's probable.
I actually saw a show once, and I wish I could remember what it was, probably 8 years ago, with a gentleman retired from the service who claimed, and why I figure he would be, you know, undercover to do this, but who claimed that he actually worked with a gray, an actual alien, a gray, as they call them. This gray worked with the service telepathically. He did not speak, but he spoke telepathically and communicated to them how to use gravity to our advantage, anti-gravity, gravity, things of this nature. He explained what he looked like in detail. Now, again, people can say that, well, you know, prove that, but he swore up and down that it was true.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is.
I personally think it's possible.
Would you work with a gray, Todd, if some of the government came and assigned you a gray?
I would sleep with a gray. If it got
that's
me
another
answers.
Show too, Todd. That's another show.
If it got me answers and would get this stuff out of my head, out of my head, yes, yes, I would talk it over with my wife, of course, and definitely, I would definitely have her hold a camera on that one. Yeah, that I mean,
once
if I could work with an alien being, that'd be great.
Get to be like Captain Kirk and sleep with the green girl
again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just...
Yes, that would be interesting.
But like I said before, you can't base all this on science alone. You just can't. There's got to be some kind of belief. If you have just the hardcore, it's not going to work out. You're going to drive yourself insane. You got to have a nice mixture of the two, you know, I think, for it to work. And it can't just be one person here. Not one guy is going to solve the answer. It's going to take a humongous group of people.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's one of the reasons I started Absolutely Paranormal in the first place. I'm frustrated with the lack of cooperation, and I know Todd's run across this a bunch.
You put that very nice.
Everybody records these things that are supposed proof or look at this. But then no one wants to put it out there because they're afraid that all the little websites are going to steal it and so-and-so is going to jump up and say it's mine. What do you think about that, Todd? Is that hurting the industry? Or, well, I shouldn't call it the industry, the community?
Yes. Yes, it is, very much so. I've noticed a lot of what I call secondhand sites where they're popping up left and right, and these people have no clue of paranormal research whatsoever. They've seen TV shows, they've watched movies, and they think they're ready to go. Boom, let's go. Anybody can make a website nowadays.
And they're just repackaging. I mean, we've had haunted voices stolen numerous times.
Oh,
right.
Definitely.
Where we just stumbled across a site, and it was our site, just repackaged.
It's just, and then the community is just so territorial. It's almost as if, you know, you have the North and South of the Civil War. Brother against brother here. It's ridiculous.
We do. We have a little infighting amongst the major groups.
It's terrible.
I think that's one reason why I've always opted in my personal group to keep it family.
Yes,
that. So as to avoid that situation.
Yes, we have family in our group, And those that break the rules in our group, they all realize that that's punishable by death. And they understand that.
And then you can collect EVP.
Exactly.
There you go. Punishment and investigations at the same time.
All at the same time.
Well, I normally, if they do break the rules, normally my wife will take care of that. And, well, that's, I'd rather be dead.
Yes. Don't face the wrath of Chris Bates, everyone.
No, our little forum Nazi.
She
but no, the community just—it's territorial. It's terrible.
So everybody, come visit Absolutely Paranormal and share what you want to share. And we're going to do our best to make sure that you know it's not stealable. But one of the things that I've always pitched to people is, you can—they say—they tell me, how can I prove that it was mine? If you post it, and if you're the first person to put it up, and if you put it up in places that are high profile, it makes it easy to prove that it was yours.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back and say, look, on February 22nd, I posted this, and in March 15th, you posted it. I was first. It's mine.
Very good point.
So let's see if we can encourage some people to show up and share their experiences, because I'm like Todd, I honestly believe that's the only way we're ever going to figure out the truth, is if people start opening up and sharing the info.
More and more are doing that every day.
And more are doing that every day. With our hard work, we're turning people around. I know I've had a lot of people that told me I've turned them around in the last few months, just pitching my ideas.
Yeah, you've got a nice little head on your shoulders.
Well, we're coming up on the end of the show here, so we should promote Todd. Let's see, we got Todd tomorrow. What time's your show, Todd? It's at
that's from 6 to 7 Central Time. That's PM. And that's 4 to 5 Pacific.
So 4 to 5 Pacific Time right here on the BBS Radio Network. We've got Todd Bates and his EVP show. Who are you having as a guest tomorrow, Todd?
Yours truly. We're gonna do a recap. Of
Todd
last week's show.
Todd.
What's that?
We get Todd interviewing Todd.
Yeah, I'll miss my meds tomorrow. We'll see what kind of personalities come out. Yeah, there might be a few surprises in there. Call-ins, welcome. Please call in.
Call-ins are welcome. So, yeah, tomorrow night, Todd's all by himself, so everybody call in and keep him company.
Definitely.
Monday nights at Haunted Voices, every Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Time. No, that's not right. It's 8 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, which is my time zone. We have Haunted Voices Guest Chat.
Yes.
Which is hosted by yours truly and Jen. Kind of the beginnings of our little radio show.
Yes.
Who do we have this week, Jen?
Actually, the last Monday of every month is Open Chat, but on April 3rd, we have Deborah and Tony Pickman, infamous from Living in the Sally House in Atkinson, Kansas.
Speaking of that, real quick before we go, Todd's actually being interviewed on a show about the Sally House that's airing on Discovery Channel on April what?
April 14th.
Anybody remember April 14th?
Yes, Friday, April 14th at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern.
We got 30 seconds.
And there's Nevin, our producer, coming in saying we got 30 seconds, so Todd. Thanks for being on our first show, dude.
Yes, thank you, Todd.
Thank you very much for having me. Great show.
Appreciate it.
Great show. Bye-bye.
Talk to you tomorrow. Okay, well, Jen, I think we did pretty good.
Yes, and I want to thank everyone at BBS Radio for giving us this opportunity. Hopefully everyone liked it, everyone that's listening. I hope they write into contact@blogandservice.com. Let them know if you liked us so we can come back every week.
And there you go. This has been Absolutely Paranormal with Reg.
And Jen.
And Jen. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will hopefully see you next week.
Bye.
Okay, guys.
Are you there?
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a service.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.